Welcome to the jungle. So today I'm here with my friend Julie, and my name is Carlos. Just wanted to create this space for you guys to basically invite you to our daily conversations. Just I'm having coffee here with my friend, and we have these debates really often, and it just we're creating this space to study the Word of God with you. So welcome, Julie. Would you like to tell us a little bit about why are we the reason for the retreat center?
Yeah, so we've been doing ministry here in the jungle in the Riviera Maya, and we decided it would be nice to have a retreat center to bring people here who want to join us in going out and doing ministry. And it's also become a way that we can make money to turn back into to help the people, because it's difficult to get donations these days. A lot of you know that it's difficult. Yes. So we thought, why not start a little business where we can raise the money from people staying with us? So we're just finishing that up. And in the meantime, we continue to do ministry to the impoverished villages and reaching out to people primarily that don't aren't attending a church or maybe are not comfortable with that.
Yes, definitely.
Doing different outreaches. They're primarily doing with the young adults in coffee shops in the city. Yes. And we're out in the jungle, so just kind of reaching out to this different population than we always see in the church. Or people that are attending a church, but they want to come and join us for fellowship on the weekends. So that's primarily what we do out here. We do church a little differently. But we have these conversations all the time. And finally, my husband and Carlos' wife started saying, you might as well just do a podcast, because we get going and we get heated up and excited actually about the scripture and talking about different things. Sometimes, mostly always agreeing, sometimes not. And how we solve that is digging into the scripture, comparing scripture to scripture. And that's what we're inviting you to do along with us.
I think that's one of the reasons I enjoy so much to sit with you and go back and forward, because at the end of the day, it's not like you're wrong and I'm right, or who has better understanding and more gifted interpretation. But it's like we look for context.
Right.
We look for the right interpretation for what God wants to say at that moment, at that time.
Exactly.
For that specific group. And we're going to go into that. You know, we could jump into the subject today is the top seven verses that we misuse. They're more the most common ones that sometimes is unintentional. You know, like last week, I'll be a little vulnerable. I used one of the ones we're going to be talking today. Okay. I was using it 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
You know, but then I was like, I went back into the context and I said, you know, like I was not using it in that correct way. So we're going to start with one of the, maybe it's a little, the more difficult one, but I wanted to start there because when I was praying today, I asked God, where do I start? Which scripture you want me to put at number one? And he said, the one that takes the glory from me. Because at the end of the day, if there's some other scriptures that it's not really bad, you know, we use it in different contexts. But if you're taking glory away from God, that is really something that I wanted to talk to today.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. What we see here is we have people come from all different denominations. Some have been in churches and left churches.
Correct.
And so we really find out that people that are Christians, there's a huge, vast range of belief systems, even within the Christian church. And also a lot of people prefer not to talk about it because, you know, we shouldn't talk about politics and religion. And even amongst the church, well, don't talk about that because they don't believe that. When we do need to talk about it with love, even where we disagree and say, well, let's just get it out and see. And some things you might hear us talking about today, you will disagree. And that's okay. We're not saying that we have all the answers.
Yes.
We're just giving you what we've come up with from searching the scriptures and some of the techniques we use to search the scripture and where we're at today, which some of the things I've changed in the last couple of years, or like you say, could even be in days, what you believe. And if so, if you have reason to believe that we're incorrect and you have scripture to back it, not just your thoughts, because we can never just say, well, I think. It has to be backed by scripture. And of course, we have the trouble with all the different versions.
Yeah.
So often we'll go back to the original Hebrew or Greek to say, well, what was that actual translation? And so that's part of it as well. But we may trigger some reactions of things you've heard your whole life in church, and that it disagrees with what you think. But it's not to be controversial, and this is where we just go back and dig in and try to find where the answers are.
Yeah, I love what you said, because during conversations with pastors, leaders, and just on the phone last night, I was talking to a friend of mine from a Pentecostal movement, and I have a lot of friends in different denominations, and by no means we trying to say what you're doing is wrong, and this is we're trying to just have a better understanding. And because at the end of the day, it's key what you said. It's not what we think,
right?
What does God think? You know, what does the Bible says? What, you know, it's that's the main. So let's start with the first one, and that's in Romans chapter 4, verse 17.
All right.
So I invite you to open up your Bible. And the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And just the way it's being misused, this scripture is we've been in the doctrine of teaching us that we could speak things into existence. And again, I wanted to tackle this verse first, because the Bible says God who gives, he spoke things into existence.
He's the creator.
He is the created. And if we speak things into existence, it leads us to things such as decree and declare.
Right.
And things that we're not going to go deep into those subjects, but at the, you know, but at the core of the chapter, this verse is being misused. I'll tell you why, Julie, because in chapter 4 of the book of Romans, it's the general idea is talking about salvation through faith, not by works, by righteousness. God accepted Abraham. And then in this verse, it lead into the situation of Sarah. She couldn't have a baby, and God spoke life into the womb. So it, for me to take the verse and create a whole teaching could be a dangerous place to be.
Right.
Do you agree?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because this was also a promise for her.
Exactly. It was a promise for her.
I was in a church. I've had to leave a couple churches, three actually, when false teaching started coming in. And they come in, they don't just change overnight. They start coming in just little by little, contaminating the teachings. And, you know, some of it you say, well, we just don't agree on this little thing or little thing. But when it comes into the core fundamental teachings of salvation, you know, then it's, I couldn't stay. But one of the things they started every service with, and some of you are going to know what church I'm talking about because you know me, well, it no longer exists anyway. They started this, counted how many promises are in the Bible, and there was like 3,000 some hundred, I should remember because we recited this before every service, promises in the Bible, and every one of them is for you. And we recited that before we started church, and that's not true. Every promise in here isn't for all of us. Some are, this was for Sarah, and then some,
yeah,
and
specific
Abraham.
Situation, she was 90 years old, Abraham was about 100, And God had promised Abraham descendants as the stars. So God spoke life into the womb, right. But you know, and
not every 90-year-old is going to have a baby.
Exactly.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, that's just really interesting because it leads into decree and declare, where I spoke with one of my best friends in California last night before, and I said, I respect him. You know, it's a friend of mine, and I value his opinion. And mm-hmm. and so I went, I spoke with him for about an hour, and I said, hey, brother, would you mind if we could just go back and forth with scripture today? I'm getting ready to do this podcast. And he was not able to tell me why he's using decree and declare in the Bible.
Right.
And he after clearing up some understanding, he told me, you know, sometimes I think we decree and declare and somehow it makes us feel more spiritual. Like we, maybe not in a bad way, you know, maybe not intentional, but you're declaring things into existence. Like if you are, like if you have the power to do that.
Right.
But the Bible doesn't teach that.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's also another word for it is manifesting, which is really popular. And one of the books that made that really popular is The Secret. So now I'm going to trigger people already because this teaching is, there's tons of podcasts out there about manifesting that you can manifest something or speak it that are not Christian, but it's coming into the church now that if you speak it, that it will.
Yeah.
Come true. And there's a lot of verses they use to say that we can do that,
yes.
But it's taken out of context.
Yes.
And actually, it's not just that it's not true, it's also harmful. And an example I can give is a church that I was in, there was a job I wanted. And my fellow church members gathered around me and declared, the job is yours. You got the job. In Jesus' name, it's your job. And I really felt like I needed this job for my family and for my children. It was going to work out great and financially. Well, I didn't get the job. Well, they always would remind everybody of the prayers and things they declared that worked out. But I started noticing about half of what they declare over me and everybody else doesn't happen.
Yeah, I think, and it's dangerous to go that route because at one point, can you feel guilty? It's I don't have enough faith.
Right.
You know? And I look back to Paul. Let's just take an example from the Bible. Paul had the thorn in the flesh.
Yes.
And what can we say then? That Paul didn't have enough faith? That right. he didn't declare and decree
yes.
the right things?
That's the other experience with chronic illness issues. When people have declared over me, and I think we'll probably have another verse about healing, declaring the healing when that doesn't happen. I even had in the church, someone declared someone was not going to die, and they did. Now what happens to the believers when they see your declarations don't happen?
Yeah.
A lot of them leave the church and are disgusted forever. We lose them, and we turn them away from Christ. And we never were given the authority to declare in the first place. We can ask.
Yeah, the Bible has a scripture
we can ask,
that says,
and we should.
Ask, and you should receive, right? And if you're declaring, you're not asking.
You're not asking.
And the Bible says, let your will come, like your kingdom come. Your will be done. It's if we're declaring, it's more our will be done.
Yes. And the people that actually do declare things, and it's actually called, it's spell casting, and it's actually witchcraft.
Yeah. And
I know that's harsh, but that's true. That's what they do.
That's why it's important that any teaching or scripture that you listen to anywhere,
mm-hmm.
in a YouTube video and anywhere, that you go back for context in your own.
Yes.
Because it is important. Nobody could replace the time that I spent alone with God, you know, and because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit will teach you all things.
Right.
So we're going to move on to the second
most
common misused verse. And in the same paragraph, there's two verses that are being misused often. I'm going to start with this one. It's in Matthew 18, verse 18.
Okay.
And the Bible says, "Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven." After having a conversation with my friend last night, he told me that he bind, you know, like it's common in the excitement and the, it, once you're in the service and the momentum and the excitement to be like, "I cast you, I bind you, Satan." Yes. We hear that. And we're going to talk about this because if you compare to other scripture, this is not biblical correct.
Right.
Because within the context, if we read verse 15 to verse 20, the Bible's talking about discipline of the church. Mm-hmm. If you don't solve it with your brother, bring a witness.
Right.
Then if the witness doesn't come through and he don't listen, bring it to the church.
Right.
If you don't do that, then he says, if you could do that and you agree, he says, anything that you bind, if you agree between you guys, I will agree in heaven.
Right. It's a proper way to handle conflict. This is all they're talking about.
Exactly. The context is not to bind Satan. The context is, or bind spirits,
right,
is to agree with what God is saying. And then at the and then right after that, it says, "Again, I say to you that if you two agree on the earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them in my Father in heaven." So he confirms, if you agree, it's going to happen. And I wanted to say that because it is important, because when we take it out of context,
it's
and then we create
out
a whole
of
different teaching.
And people, and they're using that as a lot of the churches. Now, we're today we're kind of talking about some of these are referring to some of the more Pentecostal event. And I've attended Pentecostal. I've gone to Apostolic. I've gone to Baptist. I've gone to the full spectrum. And both of us will tell you, we don't claim any particular
denomination.
We're just Bible believing.
Also Bible.
Church, all Bible. So we aren't trying to pick on any type of church because we've attended, we'll get into that some other time, all types of churches. And we're not going after anyone. This is a little bit more, some people who go to a Baptist church might be like, "Well, I've never heard of this. Who's binding and loosing?" This is a little bit more of the evangelical. Churches I've gone to did this a lot. And we just see the people do it and speaking the Christianese, I always call it. "I'm going to bind and loose it." So you hear it over and over and over and you go, "Oh, I guess that's what we do." And it's the people you trust and the people that teach you the Bible. So you hear it, you repeat it, and then you don't really realize, where is that?
Yeah.
Where does it talk about that? And in these particular words from the Jewish legal language actually just mean to allow it or forbid it. So he's just saying, if you all agree to allow this or forbid it, I'll agree with you. I'm amongst you when you come as a group and agree, I'll, you know, agree with that. So it has nothing to do with binding up the devil, which the Bible says the devil is walking to and fro. He has reign on this earth at this moment, and the only one that's going to bind him is Jesus. If we actually think we're binding the devil, it's really delusional.
Yes, and I agree. And I'll give you a scripture just so that I could back up what we're saying. You know, Jude chapter 1 verse 9 says that the archangel, as he was disputing for the body of Moses, he did not dare to call out the devil.
Right.
You know, if angels can't do that, how much more, you know, like we can't do that. And then when Jesus had the temptation in Luke chapter 4, wasn't that the perfect occasion for Jesus to teach us how to bind the devil?
Right.
But he instead said, "It is written." He didn't bind Satan. He just said, "It is written."
Right.
And he did that three times. And if you look at scripture and the whole panoramic view, the only time the devil will be bound is in after the second coming.
Right.
If that's the correct timing,
yes,
because that's when Jesus will do that.
Right.
Right.
Now, some people will say the comparison with the angel doesn't matter because we're going to rule over angels and that it's different. However, there's no example of a human being taught to bind either. So that argument's moot.
Yeah, correct.
Sorry, we have bees. We're in the jungle. We got bees.
There's a lot of these Melipona today.
Bees, which we actually have hives here, not to get off topic.
Yeah, we can't kill them.
They don't, we love them and they don't bite. They don't have a stinger. So yeah. They're buzzing around us and we're doing this, but it's okay.
No, and I love that. I just want to take also a moment to again repeat it and say it. We come with a humble heart, just asking you, will you please look at the context?
Yes.
Review the context because I have seen people got hurt through time. A friend of mine said one day, somebody decree and declare my marriage.
Right.
And then she got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, I don't understand God. I'm confused.
Right.
Where's his promise? But then, and I just wanted to leave it at that for today. We'll come back and we'll have a whole episode on some of these things.
Yes.
But I wanted to give you guys an introduction to the purpose of the podcast.
Right. Yeah, a lot of these deserve a whole episode and digging into it and really digging into the scripture. But we're just trying to give an idea of what kind of topics we're digging into. The more you dig in, the more you learn, and the more I study, the more I know what I don't know, and the more questions I have, and the more humbling it is. Really, I think I know it all. It's like, oh wow, now that opened up something else I need to think about.
Yeah,
and that's what we really want to encourage.
Yeah, I mean, we have a great responsibility.
Yes, especially as teachers. Disciples, yes,
as teachers.
Yeah,
we will be. The Word of God says that we'll be judged differently. We are leading people,
mm-hmm.
and we have a great responsibility. You don't know, Julie, how many people I have talked to that, because I love to read the Bible, and I tell them, so why you believe that? And they're like, I don't know, it's just I feel, I think. And I'm like, yeah, but now as a leader, you need to have a responsibility of understanding why.
Right. You have to be able to answer
why
you're
teaching a specific that doctrine, and it's just to be accountable, and this is the purpose of the podcast, just to encourage you again. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay.
So we got, it's in the same paragraph,
is
one of the ones that I am guilty of using. Just 2 weeks ago, I used this verse, and the Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Okay, so this is 18.
See, it's the same. Matthew 18, verse 20.
Okay.
And if, a lot of times when I'm praying, and let's say we have a small group, right? I'm tempted to bring this up because I'm like, if there's two or three, God is in the midst. It's encouraging. I was not doing it with a bad intention.
Right.
I was like, hey, this is encouragement. But we know that God could be everywhere.
Yeah.
So it is
He
true.
Is omnipresent.
So the statement is true, but I was using it out of context. How? Because if we go back, God could be with me if I'm alone.
Yes.
And if somebody that doesn't know that God is omnipotent, that's what
omnipresent.
Omnipresent?
Yeah.
If somebody that's a new believer don't understand that,
yes,
he might be like, I need to gather with two or three.
Yes, right.
So we had to make it clear, God could be with you. He's everywhere.
Yes, exactly. And I've heard that too. When we used to work with a youth group, my husband and I, and we'd go to conferences where they get the emotions high and all the, the music and all the things they do to bring the emotions up. And they said, I felt the Holy Spirit so strong. And I said, well, okay, but Jesus isn't just hanging out. The Holy Spirit's not hanging out in that building. Why don't you should feel that same, be able to feel that in your bedroom at home alone or sitting in the jungle or wherever, because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And the devil's not, Jesus or and God knows our every thought too. The devil does not. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. Yes. So when we say to the devil, "Made me do it," or "The devil's there," he's actually not everywhere. There's his little demons can be out doing his work, but the devil's not everywhere. We give him too much credit.
Yeah, I think that's
God is everywhere. He's not. Say that. God can read our thoughts. The devil can only, the demons anyway, who would report back to the not everywhere present devil, the demons can't read our thoughts unless we speak it out loud, unless they see what's going on. They don't have those abilities that God does. We really need to have peace in knowing that they are not all powerful like that.
Yeah. I want to just talk a little bit about what you said, because if we go back to context, it's again talking about disciplining of the church. Is not saying or implying that if you're alone, God is not with you.
Right.
It's just saying if you gather together and agree on something and between two or three, I'll be there with you.
Right.
Right. It's important to clear that. And I wanted to talk about what you said, because a lot of times we do give a lot of credit to Satan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we over spiritualize everything. Like, I got a flat tire and all this. And I understand God, the devil attacks. But when you give him so much credit, you start seeing like everything is the devil.
Right.
And then you don't take responsibility for some of your actions.
Right.
You know, like some of the stuff that I went through, it was my consequences of my actions.
Yeah, sometimes it's sin, and sometimes it's just, of course, you didn't sleep last night and you're so overtired, you made a mistake. Don't blame the devil. Like, don't think you'll get paranoid like that.
You start getting paranoid.
We're humans living on Earth, and things happen, and that's true. And a lot of it is sin. You can't blame
exactly. A lot of it is just consequence of our sin. And we're gonna move.
This is where we get off track.
We get off track.
This is where we could just go here and there. It's still interesting, but okay, we'll go back.
But yeah, let's go back to the next one. And go to the next one. I have heard this one a lot, and this is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6.
Isaiah.
Okay. Isaiah, and this is number 4. The Bible says, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, "And by his stripes,
my dogs,
we are healed." Oh, yeah, the dogs. Yeah, they're crying to say, "By his stripes, we are healed. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." I want to talk about this one, because if you look back at the context, it's talking about, we have to stop and think. It's talking about transgression, the salvation process of what Jesus Christ accomplished at the cross.
Yes.
Right? And somehow we want to take that scripture and say that it's physical healing.
Right.
So I just want to say this too, because if you're, let's say I'm on stage or I'm right here and I said, "By his stripes we're healed," and I'm talking about salvation, it is fair to use it. Yes. But if I'm laying hands on someone,
spiritual healing
is leading us. If you read the whole chapter, or even the whole book of Isaiah, it's more about spiritual healing.
Yes.
Jesus never promised the healing of the body. I'm not saying Jesus cannot do a miracle.
Of course.
Right. Jesus could do anything.
Right.
God could do anything. And I believe in miracles.
Absolutely.
But the Bible, if we take this scripture out of context, and I'm in front of stage, and I lay hands on someone, and I say, "By his stripes you're healed," I'm taking it out of context, because I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about physical salvation. Have you experienced or heard anything like that?
Yeah, well, you know, repeatedly. And again, it'd be a really long story if I got into my ongoing physical battles. But I hear it all the time, and there's many verses taken out of context to really guilt people that have physical problems. I've had people declare total healing over my body repeatedly, and God has healed me of many things on his time. Usually not, well, never when someone declared it right over me. It was in God's timing. God has saved my life many times, and it's a miracle that I'm alive, but I don't have complete physical healing from some serious issues. So when we do that to someone, usually when it doesn't work out and they don't have healing, they tell you, well, it's because your faith was not strong enough.
Yeah.
Which is not true, because there is nowhere in the Bible that it says it. You mentioned earlier about Paul's thorn in the side. He asked for healing for that, and he said no.
Yeah. Imagine, and even Jesus. Let's go back to the garden before he dies on the cross. He said, Father, if there's a way that you could take this from me, right, but let your will take place. That was the perfect spot for Jesus to be like, let me decree and declare, I don't want to go to the cross.
I'm not doing it. Yeah.
But no, like he knew that there was no other way.
Right.
He had to pay. And if we, there's promises in the Bible for us. Right. Like, you know, the Holy Spirit, the helper, you know, and there's a lot of promises for us. Jesus said, I must go so you might receive the helper. I'm going to build a place for you. There's promises right after this life. But it's not necessarily here. Everything right that...
We will all be healed of our physical ailments after we die. And this is... We're going to have to do a whole podcast on that. Because yes, you know I have a lot to say and think about that. Yes. And a lot of people are going to disagree. And I was taught that and believed it until I started having my issues. And so I really had to learn it. And there's so much I could say that I won't, because we're going through a lot today. But search the scriptures in context. And if you can find somewhere to prove that God promises physical healing, remember that that is spiritual. Just like yes, in the Garden of Eden, when he told Adam and Eve, if you eat that fruit, you'll die. Mm-hmm. And then the snake said, surely you won't die, because he's talking about separation from God being a spiritual death.
Yeah. And we go back to that.
And salvation is the spiritual life when you're connected with God. This is the kind of spiritual healing we're talking about. Yeah.
And go back and read the whole chapter of mm-hmm the book of Isaiah.
Right.
And you will understand that most of them is talking about the process completed by God at the cross.
Right.
And it's in the cross he accomplished the greatest. He accomplished the greatest thing ever, because he reconciled humanity.
Right.
We're a new person now. We born again. Right? We're spiritual healed by his right stripes.
Well, think of every great Christian, everybody in the Bible, everybody, you know, the best pastors and theologians that all died of a physical, not a car accident, yeah, but a physical problem, cancer or a heart attack. Did they just blow it at the end and died because of they didn't
lack
get healed?
Lack of faith?
Because of lack of faith. That doesn't even make sense.
That doesn't make
if you
sense
just want to look on a yeah common sense. Now, we don't like, I mean, we don't know. We're not just trying to use common sense. We're using the scripture.
Yeah.
But I mean...
Yeah, it doesn't.
We have many, many wonderful Christians that eventually died of a physical problem. We know this.
Yes.
So we'll talk about that more. That's going to come up again, because that's a huge issue in the church,
yes,
that eventually turns people away, because the church makes these promises of physical healing, and trust me, that it happens all the time. I probably run into someone that tells me that once a week, or tells me, what's the problem? Why are you not healed yet?
Yeah.
So that issue we'll be talking about.
Yeah, we'll definitely come back to that.
It would take too much time.
We'll come back to that, because yeah, one of the scriptures I love to use in Deuteronomy chapter 8, there's a scripture that says, how to test the prophets. You know, mm-hmm, I believe in prophecy, but mm-hmm, the Bible says, if a prophet speaks something
right
and it happens, then fear him. Listen to him. He's right, a man of God.
Right.
But if a prophet says something and it doesn't happen, somebody prophesies something,
that's the test.
Don't fear him. So now...
And don't listen to him anymore.
Exactly. So now we have a lot of people to prophesying, And we're not holding them accountable.
Exactly.
And that's why there's so many people get confused. Why God promised me this and then this happened in my life?
Yeah.
And we get believers confused, disciples yes. confused. And it's a dangerous route. So again, our hearts to come back to context. And I'm going to move on for the sake of time. In Acts chapter 19, verse 6, this is the number 5 verse that more often is being misused mm-hmm. Among believers. And the Bible says in chapter 19, verse 6, it says, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Mm-hmm. We're not going to spend time talking about the speaking in tongues and prophesy, but we're going to talk about this because a lot of people, when you take this verse out of context and you make a statement that if the speaking in tongues is the evidence mm-hmm. of the Holy Spirit in you,
yes,
is biblical incorrect. Why? Mm-hmm. If you read the context, come and read it with me. Chapter 19 of the book of Acts, Paul is getting to the church of Ephesus, and mm-hmm. he said to them, the Bible says that they're disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe?" I'm reading verse 2. And then he says, "So they say to him, 'We have not such as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.'" So then after they accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, they were disciples.
Yes.
And then Paul comes, he lays hands on them, and then they speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. And we cannot use this to create a whole doctrine of if you don't have the Holy Spirit, if you don't speak in tongues, because there's other evidence of the Holy Spirit right. in us, such as conviction, the fruits of the Spirit.
The fruits of the Spirit.
Self-control. And if we claim that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit, a lot of I just wonder if people might say, you know, I don't speak in tongues. Am I saved?
Oh, for sure they do. Because I was in a church that implied this. They didn't really push it, but with the youth, especially, they would tell them, and even in the women's Bible study. Just they felt it was so important, and I thought too, wow, I don't know what's wrong with me either. This was when I was a new, you know, a young Christian. They would say, we're gonna pray, and I want you just to make noises and babble and then see if it comes natural. Ah, like to me, anyone doing that, please don't do that to your people. And they did that to my children yeah. too. So it's not a fake it till you make it kind of thing, guys. Then we're like trying to, we can't do that with the Holy Spirit. Fake it yes. till you make it. No, yeah. That is so devastating to people. And that's where my kids came to me crying, and they said, "This is just not, we don't belong here." I said, "What happened?" And that is what happened. I don't know. A lot of Christians I know don't speak in tongues, and it's yeah. one of the gifts of the Spirit.
So, and like I said,
they may or they may not, but you definitely don't guilt someone or pressure them into doing something that is, it either comes natural from the Holy Spirit or it doesn't.
Yeah, I think.
And some people believe that there's also, we have a lot of Christians that don't believe in speaking in tongues at all too. So we've got a huge, yeah. again, what I'm saying is within the Christian church, there's such a huge range. So if someone says, "I'm a Christian," well, what does that mean?
Yeah, that's really sad.
Struggle with.
That's really sad too. And that's why this podcast is so important if you're listening, because, you know, like the interpretation of scripture, if you take it out of context, and it's dangerous. Yeah. Again, it's more of an awakening for all of us, you know. And I was just thinking as I was reading this verse, because there's examples in the Bible, just as in Acts chapter 2, when they're in the upper room and nobody laid hands on them. It just says the Spirit came, and then they spoke in other languages, and that's fine, but nobody laid hands on them.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, there's other evidence. And if you're listening, I believe that, and don't allow somebody to tell you that you don't have the Holy Spirit or convince you otherwise, because feeling conviction and having the fruits of the Spirit is another sign of the Spirit in us. We don't all meant to have all the gifts. We're different. We're all part of the body, different functions, and we don't all supposed to do everything.
Right.
So I think, like you said, it's unfair for people to be like, hey, something wrong with me? I don't have enough faith? Yeah. Am I not in the right page with God? Maybe I have sin in my life? And then other things come from there.
Yeah.
And we don't want to go the route, because the Bible says that when you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are set free.
Right.
And if you say you have to be delivered once and again, you're saying that what Jesus did in the cross is not enough.
Right.
Right.
And the fruits of the Spirit and the evidence in your life will start to grow, but that's not the evidence of your salvation. You know, as you start reading the word more and having your relationship with Christ, you'll start to see more of that, but that is not required for salvation.
Yes, I totally agree. And let's move on to the next one. I think you have the next one, Julie.
I have the next one.
It's in Matthew 7.
Okay. I thought I had the question. I'm like, I don't have any questions.
Yeah, you.
As you noticed, I'm sure already, we're completely unscripted, because we're just letting you in on our conversations. We're not trying to be all planned out and all scripted out. We're not a Bible study. We're not preaching. We do have Bible studies. We have one online you could join where we do go in depth, but we're just. We're doing this as we go. This is just like what we do on a normal day-to-day basis. Okay, Matthew 7.
Yeah, well, you might think this is crazy, but this is just a regular conversation with Julia at breakfast. And we just love God, and we love Scripture.
We love to talk about it.
Yeah. So let's read Matthew 7, verse 7. This is number 6, one of the verses that people misuse.
Okay.
Matthew 7, verse 7. I'm sorry. Can you read Matthew 7, 1? Is that the...
Do not judge.
Yeah, is that? That's the one.
Okay. So do you want me to read the whole section?
Just Matthew 7, 1.
Do not judge so that you will not be judged.
Okay.
The rest of it kind of explains it more. But throwing that verse alone...
Yes.
Do not judge. And you hear it all the time.
That's what I was just going to say. Isn't it... people use it as a free card, right? Like...
Don't judge me.
Because you don't want to be judged.
I've even seen tattoos. Don't judge me. Only God can judge me.
Yes, exactly. And
not exactly.
But if you go back to the context, Julie, maybe you want to read a few verses.
Continue on 2:4. Okay. In the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure it will be measured to you. This is where it continues on. Most of us know this one. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye and look at the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite.
Yeah.
Take the log
out
of your
own
eye first.
Because at the end, it gives us the answer.
Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before pigs. Take the speck out of your... Sorry, let me go back. 5. You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Yeah, let's leave it there. Because when we go back to context, the Bible does not say don't judge.
Right.
It just says first address your sin.
Right.
First look in the mirror and say, because if I go to someone and say, hey, you need to do this, but then they see the sin in my life.
The hypocrisy.
It's being a hypocrite. And people are not going to respect that.
No.
But if I have changed things in my life, in my walk with Christ, and then they know my character. They know me as a friend. And then I go with love and call something that I see it might be wrong, you know, or I'm disappointed.
The speaking truth in love.
Speaking truth. Then the Bible doesn't, it says to we could judge the fruit, right?
Right.
So it's just, but a lot of people take it out of context and say, don't judge me. Because then you'll be judged.
We can judge. Yeah, because we can judge sin. We can judge character. Because if we are even trying to judge truth, that's a judgment. If we're trying to determine what's true, obviously we know Jesus made a lot of judgments, but this is probably the biggest thing I hear people complain about the church and Christians, why they want nothing to do with it. They're judgmental, you know? Yeah. And what we can't judge is when someone's saved, because we don't know their heart. Like you were saying, we don't know if they have the Holy Spirit necessarily. We can see some of the fruit, but to really know for sure if someone's saved or if the Holy Spirit's in them, that only God really knows the heart. We don't have that ability. We can make some guesses, but we can judge. And also notice that he's talking about your brother. So they're not saying good. To go around judging. We can judge the sin of others, but
how can you judge somebody that don't have the same values? We can't judge the world, because we're going by different standards.
Right, going around to someone that died and laying it on them all the sins that you're doing. We're not called to do that. When they don't have an
understanding of sin.
But going to your brother, who's a fellow believer, who's doing something wrong, and that you can righteously judge, that you're not also doing yourself as a hypocrite, you can go lovingly to them and say, hey, I noticed you got this going on.
Yeah.
It says you can help them get the speck out of their eye. Yeah. So it's not true that you can't judge, make judgments on things. We're always judging when we even do a test or make a judgment if something's right or wrong. That's a judgment.
And I think going back, just read the context. And let's move on to the next one, Julie. This is one of the most, the most common ones. It's in the top seven. I wanted to leave it towards the end, but I think we all have done it in the past. It's Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And the Bible, you have that verse. Can you read it?
Okay, let's see.
Do you have it? I have it here.
Do you have it handy?
Yeah. Philippians.
I use my Bible a lot as a phone, so you're going to see me grabbing this to do my searches.
Oh, I have it ready.
Because this one, this has a lot to do with what version you're using.
Also, translation. Yes. And I'm reading, just so that people who are listening, I'm reading the King James Version, and I'm going to read it to you guys. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I think we all have used this scripture.
Yeah.
But, and the way it's being misused is by somehow, the way we're taking it out of context is by just thinking that this kind of give us some type of power.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm doing something and physically or anything, and I said, I can do it through Christ who strengthens me, right? And it doesn't mean physical power or any power. It's just, if you read the context, Paul's talking about contentment.
Well, and do you know what? Most of the versions don't say I can do all things through God. Most of the versions say...
Which is your version you're
reading? I think this is the NIV and the ESV, I believe. But most of the versions that I tried to look up say, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I can do all this. Ask, what's this? And it's...
And he leads you to the context.
What was previously before that, which is saying, indeed... Let's see. I'm saying that this because I was in need. I learned to be content in whatever circumstances.
Yes.
So basically to just, in a nutshell, it's saying I have had plenty and I've had nothing, but I've been content regardless. Yes. So I'm able to do that. I'm able to be content no matter what I have.
Yes.
I can do this because of God who strengthens me, because he wrote this in prison, right?
Yeah, correct.
So obviously he can't do everything. He can't work. He's not free. He's not saying, I can do anything I want. I can get that job. I can go to the moon. I can do everything. He's talking about that paragraph.
Yes, and I think if we go back, he's talking about, I had it all. And then now I have nothing. I'm going through this difficult time. And if you use this scripture in that proper context, it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
If you're going through something, And then and you said, you know, I'm content. I could do it through Christ who strengthens me. But it's not a physical strength. It's not a superpower that you receive by speaking the scripture.
Right.
And you're going to get it done.
Or anything you want to do, you're going to succeed. It doesn't mean correct. That.
Correct. Because a lot of times, again, and we spoke in the last podcast, God says no. And it's not. But yeah, I wanted to just close with this as a final thought. You know, like our heart and intention for the podcast, if you're listening, is for just to challenge you in a healthy way to go back to context, go back to simple and ask. And if this verse has enough foundation to be supporting the scriptures.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we have to look at the panoramic view. And if you're listening and you have a question or you were like, you know, I never heard that, Carlos. You know, like, please comment below or send me a private message, because I'll be happy to talk to you and just talk a little bit more about what the scripture teaches. I'm open. And like we said at the beginning, is we're not saying that we have it all right. It's just our heart is to our heart is just for people to have a simple understanding of scripture. And well, thank you, Julie, for another podcast. I know we're gonna have more fun, but I just want to say to you guys, thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.